took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Greetings, this is Glorious Day, and I'm Pastor David.
And I'm Pastor Barry.
Welcome to another episode, if you will. I like that word, episode, brother.
Episode. It just sounds like something wonderful is coming.
It is. Well, I hope so.
Stand by for this episode.
Right. You'll remember last week when Pastor David and Pastor Barry were scratching their heads at the end of the... Anyway, well, we try to... The whole vision of this radio program is to edify the saints and give the unbeliever something to chew on, and to lead people to Christ, because the day is coming soon. Jesus is coming back. We don't know. It could be next week, next year, in 10 years, I don't know, but we are close, you know, astronomically.
I believe that too, David.
We are close, and so that's what this vision of that we're pursuing here is, and so each program has a theme, which we know is biblical, and we hope be a blessing to you. And our theme for tonight is joy in the church. And we're going to, I believe, successfully unpack that in the next 25 minutes. But Brother Barry has a scripture that he'd like to share with you to get things going.
That would be the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 10 through 12. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That is a powerful word, too. And it also contains that commandment that we love one another. He's speaking now to his church, you know, but also to love those beyond the church, because it's God's love that is true. And this is a theme, really, it's gonna work through the next three programs, is how much God loves us, and God's love moves everything, so, because God is love, according to the scriptures. So, but joy, it's an important point, because... you know, we ask you, joy, let's just say, joy is different from happiness.
Right.
Yeah, because happiness is more of a brain chemistry thing. We've said this before. You know, happiness depends on, I don't know, is it the serotonin or dopamine levels in your brain?
Yeah, you got to have a little dopiness in your brain. And
Right. I do that.
Then
I have
you're
a
happy,
lot of
happy.
That. Yeah. But you know, happiness is a transitory thing. In fact, the root, it's the same root word as the word happenstance.
Ah.
Happenstance is kind of a transitory event, right? It comes and it goes. But the joy of the Spirit is a gift from God. It's grace. And so it has a whole different meaning. It begins spiritually. And as we were talking before we started recording, Barry really hit on a major theme that's connected with this, which has to do with discipline.
Yeah, I grew up in a big family, and if you don't have discipline with the children, and discipline is not punishment, by the way, it's creating a safety net, guidelines. Children will not admit this, but a home without discipline can become chaotic.
Yeah.
Chaos frightens children. Quick story, David.
Go ahead.
When I was growing up in this big family, across the street was a small family. There was a single mom, and she had two boys. One was already older than us, but the other one became my friend, and their household was chaotic. It was built on a flimsy foundation, if you will. And so this young man, I'll call him David, would gravitate to our family for family dinners and family gatherings. And I watched him because he was kind of a wild little kid of the streets, and he was not particularly happy ever, and a nervous child. But he would strike out, because out of fear comes anger. One night after dinner, my mother said, David, you know, you're part of this group. You need to do the dishes with the girls and with Barry. And I watched his face, and he had the biggest smile on his face. And later on, I said, why are you smiling when Mom was telling you to go do the dishes? And he says, I like the atmosphere because I feel safe at your house, even though I'm being told what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was hungering for.
Yes.
And I see the scripture today, and our Lord and Savior knows this. So in keeping his commandments, you're living in this beautiful, loving safety net, because you're following his guidelines. You're walking in step with him.
Amen.
You're not out on the range, you know, doing your own thing, depending on your own strengths. And you're a pretty strong guy, David, but I don't know if you're strong enough to go live out in the range the rest of your life under your own strength. We need God's strength.
Always.
And we need God's discipline. And that's what I love about this, because as soon as I read this, I thought of my childhood, thinking, okay, we all complain, oh, guess what they told me to do now, and I can't go outside until all my homework's done. And these are all things that are for your betterment.
Absolutely, even though we don't realize it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of, we take that, there was a little story, another story.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't mine, but in a teaching that was being presented at one of the churches that I was in, it was a video teaching, and the teacher was telling a story about one time when he took his kids, when they were younger, they were playing soccer.
Uh-huh.
And they got to the field, and the coach was late. He didn't show up, and so... Mm. The preacher who was telling the story said that the parents kind of appealed to him to step in as the coach until the coach got there. And he said he was willing to do it, but he didn't know all the rules.
Okay.
So they got out on the field, they set up their parameters with how the size of the field they were going to play on, and began the game. And the kids knew that he didn't know as much as the coach did, you know? So, I mean, they were constantly having to stop to check the rules, and half the time he didn't remember them. So anyway, finally the coach showed up and he got them back in order and they started the game again. And this time they were doing well. He knew what to do, what not to do. And that it was clear when this guy was leading coaching, who didn't really know that much, he didn't know the rules, the kids really weren't having the kind of fun that they would have when the proper order was brought to them. And he used that as a teaching about discipline in the Christian life.
And, you know, we can take all this and look at our churches now. And if you don't have discipline in your church, if you're not following the commandments of Christ in your church, well, that's an eye-opener, David.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're not doing anybody any favors by opening a church and not preaching the gospel and not telling people that this is what the Lord wants you to do. These are the commandments. If you're not mentioning what Jesus is not asking, telling you to do, what have you done for these people? It's like those kids in the soccer field. With all good intentions, this fella tried to fill in. But, you know, he did the best he could. But there was no favor to the children. I guess this is a word out to all the pastors out there that, you know, you need to know the rules, know the book, and present the whole gospel, not part and parcel of what you think you might know.
Exactly. You know, when the body of Christ is under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, and when we follow, as Jesus said, what did he say at the Great Commission before he ascended? Teach them, he's speaking to his disciples, teach them to obey the commandments that I've given you.
Amen.
And which means you have to obey them yourself if you're a leader. But for a reason, because it's how the Spirit of God works in the body of Christ when the leadership is enabling the people to know what the commandments are and how to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And to give that, you know, there was, and even to the, to say, and I have to add this because Jesus, when we talk of discipline, there's another area that links up with this that in, that enables congregational joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, and this, I'm speaking again to pastors primarily.
Right.
Because your leaders, your primary leaders in the community. And when somebody's acting up, when someone is clearly sinning, if you will,
mm-hmm.
And is unrepentant, and that behavior is causing difficulties in your church, you have to deal with that. Now, Jesus gives an example in the Gospels of how to deal with that, and it's very rabbinical, mm-hmm. very Jewish, but and it's a very good approach. He said there's a three-tiered approach. The first tier, someone's causing a problem in your church.
Right.
You're the pastor. You know it. Maybe you didn't see it happen. Others are coming to you and saying, you know, Brother Fred or Brother Cecile or whatever, you know, they're doing things that are really, they're clearly sinful, whatever, they're either within the church or their lifestyles outside that are not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to do something. And, of course, a lot of pastors today would rather not hear that stuff because they don't, they haven't been trained in how to handle church discipline, but it's there in the scriptures. So Jesus said, when that happens, you personally, if you're having a problem, maybe you go to that person and you have a conversation with them, you share with them what you're seeing. We always say use I language to say, you know, I am concerned for you and for this church because of your behavior, and then you outline what you're seeing. And Jesus says, if your brother receives that and is willing to repent, you know, then all is well and good. But
mm-hmm.
if your brother does not repent,
right.
then there's tier two, phase two, which is you go to the leadership of the church. That's the pastor, maybe the pastor will involve the board of deacons or
yeah.
the vestry or the council, whatever you call that group. And you will share your concerns and the history of your discussion that I went to so-and-so, I shared these things, and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It may already be the pastor and the lay leadership already know about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you do that. That's phase two. And then it also, I think at that level of discipline, because if you're having an issue, you're following that discipline as well. It gives everybody a chance to pray about it and say, and maybe somebody knows something you don't know,
mm.
you know, or maybe, well, we're already working on this, so thanks, you know, but
yeah,
okay. But if the behavior and then because the leadership, the pastor in this case, and you would go to that person,
right?
If no change occurs and they're still unrepentant, then what Jesus says is you go to the church. In other words, this is probably the hardest thing for pastors today.
Oh, yeah, because this is all confrontational.
It's all confrontational. Yeah. We don't like that. I've known a few pastors have had to do it. I've had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you take it to the church, and that's not just the pastor, not the board of deacons or whatever. That's the congregation. And this, again, well, when they meet on Sunday, you say, well, folks, we have some congregational business, you know, and then if it gets to that point, Jesus says, if they're still unrepentant, then they need to be, for the sake of discipline, sent out, you know, what some churches would call excommunicated, meaning to be removed from the communion
mm-hmm.
of that church while they pray about and consider this discipline, that's because they are an offense to the body of Christ. And now a lot of people don't go that far. But sometimes you have to.
Well, what Jesus sees in this and that we should see is that could become a cancer mm-hmm. in the congregation where
oh, yeah.
perhaps in maybe a little bit more of a liberal congregation, you'll say, well, you know, that's not so bad. I can see why he did that or why she did that. I, you know, I'm kind of siding with them.
Yeah.
And then you have a divide. And Jesus knows everything. He knows all that. He knows where it's going to go. David, verse 12 is always, in the beginning of my walk with Christ, was very difficult for me.
Yes.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In reading the words, it sounds great. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
How did Jesus love us? Completely.
Yeah.
In a self-sacrificing way.
Yes.
In such a beautifully forgiving way. I mean, he was forgiving the people that were putting him on the cross.
Yeah.
You might consider them an enemy.
Yeah.
And it could be my Italian background, but when I see this, yeah, I kind of have to, you know, I had to grip my teeth and said, you want me to pray for him?
Yeah.
Well, before I was ordained, I had a fellow who was an archbishop sit me down, and he said, before you go through with this, I want to paint a picture for you. Okay, you're in a little town, and someone has committed just a heinous crime. It's in the local tabloid, and the whole town is up in arms, and they caught the fella, and he's in a jail cell, and one night they're all outside the jail cell with the pitchforks, the torches, and the barking dogs, and they want to, you know, hang him. And where will you be? Well, as a minister of the gospel, as a preacher, pastor, whatever you want to call yourself, you should be sitting in the jail cell with that person praying for their soul.
Yes.
And praying for them in a genuine way.
Yes.
Not just a smiley face and a couple of canned prayers. You should. This is how we should view our enemies. Piling heaps of coal on them, so to speak, right?
Yes.
And heaps of coal of kindness. And that for me, once I broke through my difficulty with that, I get it.
Mm.
I get it. And the Lord has pulled the veil back just a few times where I saw that person, not that they were in a jail cell with the barking dogs, but you know what I mean, where there was an enemy in a group, and see them do a complete 180.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just joy there.
Yes.
Not only for them, but for me. Wow. The Lord turned them around. And I prayed for them. And not that I'm taking any credit, but, you know, when you do what God tells you to do, you're not smug. You're just full of joy that you were able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and do what he told you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, not your own strength.
Absolutely. Because on our own, no matter how strong we are, how long we've been walking with the Lord, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have what it's going to take to really get there.
No.
When you talk about loving one another as I have loved you, and we can see in the Gospels, how did Jesus love them? And yeah, I mean, he was, as you say, I mean, he was there. It was a blessing. They had peace, comfort, being in his presence, trusting him, seeing him, beginning to discover who he is, you know, and seeing and the miracles and the incredible, I'm sure, just when they had private time with him, just how edifying. I mean, just to have their souls bathed in that love of God that, you know, that you get a taste of what you'd get fully in the kingdom. But Jesus also loved them, and we talk about discipline and giving them the discipline so they could have a joyful life. And so we also see Jesus, for instance, chastising Peter. He chastised the others, but Peter we seem to see it most.
Well, we all know Peter had his moments,
he
right?
He definitely did, but look, he turned out okay, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But you know, when Peter was really disagreeing with Jesus about the revelation Jesus gave him in terms of how his life on earth was going to end, you know, and when Peter disagreed with him, and Jesus, what did he say? He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan."
Wow.
You know, yeah, because Peter was being influenced at that point by the world. He wanted Jesus to hang around until he was 120, you know, and they'd pull him around in a wheelchair and he'd preach, and Peter didn't want to let him go.
Yeah.
But that was not God's plan. And so part of the discipline that Jesus continues to bring into the church, to the work of his Holy Spirit, is to catch us up when we get off the path of righteousness and when we're not speaking the truth, even though we think we are, you know, get us back to the basic commandments that he laid out for us to follow. There's the discipline and there's the joy, because we then are working in the Spirit and we're totally totally in the peace of Christ. And that's also part of living out the commandment, you know, to love as Jesus loved. And in fact, I can read that verse and say, Lord, I'm having trouble with this today. Mm-hmm. But you gave me a commandment, so I'm depending on you to give me the grace. And believe me, I don't know if this person will be listening, but several years ago, well before I left congregational ministry for chaplaincy,
mm-hmm.
There was a fellow who was there. It was the senior pastor and myself that there was just some issues there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he basically wanted to run the church and he couldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had his own opinions he thought were wonderful, and other people did too, but he didn't have the authority. And it was always kind of head bashing, mostly with the senior pastor, but also with myself, because I stood with, you know, what was right, you know,
right.
I stood with the senior pastor. So anyway, these issues continued for a while. And then the one Sunday that I announced that I was leaving, and we had a very big, it was also another event in the church. So it was a big bunch of people. We had to move to the building next door to the church to house everybody,
mm-hmm.
Because of this crowd. And so after I had announced that I was leaving, and we had communion services on that Sunday, and everybody comes up, and I'm assisting with that, and here's this fellow, and he comes up, and he had a traditional smirk on his face, which said, I got you. You know, he loved to do that.
Okay.
Because he was annoying, and so that was part of his signature, you know. But I'll tell you, when I went to bring communion to him, and he had that smirk, in my heart, this is what God did. I had nothing but love for that man. I mean, nothing but love. I couldn't find any. You know, my mind was saying, you know, you want to punch this guy out, right?
Sure.
But my heart was saying, Jesus was saying, I love this guy. I want him to be in the kingdom as badly as I want you to be in the kingdom.
Amen. You were dependent on the Holy Spirit to do that, not David.
No, and because of that, I had, at that moment, I had joy in my heart. I literally had joy. That was a gift from God. And more of us need to do that, because it's just important. It comes with everything else. It's part of the package of being a believer.
Do you remember, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, David, we were having our home church service, little group, wonderful little group, and we were praying for this, that, and the other thing, and we brought up Ukraine, and David and I, you know, you and I were praying for Ukraine. And one of our, I'll say her name on the air, Joyce, wise lady, said,
very wise.
And Putin too.
Yeah.
And I looked around the room when she said that, and I think everybody gulped a little bit, and then we prayed for Putin as well.
Because God loves him as much as, we're going to be touching, actually, not next program, but the one after that.
Right.
On this very same issue of loving your enemies, so. Yeah, but stay tuned. You'll hear the rest of the story.
Yeah. But, you know, I just thought that was wonderful because, you know, sometimes the shepherd has a sheep that speaks up.
Yeah.
And all we could do is smile. And again, that joy, because these people are, what do you call them, David? 24 karat Christians.
Yeah.
I love that expression. And I've stolen it from you several times.
Well, it's okay. It's really in the open area. You know, there's
no copyright
on it. No. It's, I forget what the phrase is, but yeah, you can use it anytime you want.
Well, thank you.
You don't even have to give me credit for it. And that's, all of this links together so that, you know, when we talk 3 weeks from now on loving your enemy, it's going to link back with the joy in the church.
Mm.
Because frankly, I mean, listen, folks, all right, most, you're human beings, I know that.
Yeah.
Everybody who's listening is human, so you all have full range of emotions. When you're angry at somebody, is that a good feeling? I mean, really, come on. Some people, it looks like, boy, they can't wait to get angry.
It's a very destructive feeling.
It's destructive. Mm-hmm. It's not comfortable.
Mm-mm.
And, some people, you can see where it's going to go very badly if they let that continue. But so that to let God become involved, and it is another discipline, is to let God take your anger and transform it into joy. I was reading a book on the mercy of God. I'm still reading it. And it was just last night I was reading a chapter. And at the end of the chapter, the author said something. I have to paraphrase it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that and this was interesting, very revealing to me. He said that God's work is not so much to push the devil and his evil back out of the experience of the church, but to take the evil and transform it into good.
Mm.
And if you look at what Jesus talks about, this guy's right, this person that writing that on mercy, because this is what all of this business about following the commandments of Christ is about, and listening to the Spirit and being guided by the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
is so that through us, God can take our life, our ministry, and through our lives and our willingness to approach things in the world, and by the power of His Spirit, and through the discipline that we follow to address evil, mm. and let God, who is a great transformer,
oh yeah,
transform it into good. I love that.
I do too.
And you know what? That gives me great joy.
Well, it also it just makes Satan hop up and down even angrier than he is, because yep. he's failed again.
He failed again, and he's going to continue to mm-hmm. fail. We're almost out of time, and I'm sad to say that, but Barry.
Yes, sir.
Would you close us with a prayer, please?
I would be honored.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy Father, Jesus. We come to you looking at these scriptures, hearing your words. And we just ask for your blessing and your strength and giving us the courage to abide in by your Jesus. Commandments. Holy Father, let us always remember that the discipline that you give us is out of love.
Yes.
And that you love us more than we'll ever know. And Holy Father, continue to shine light upon our path and guide us daily to be obedient to you. Through Christ yes, we pray. Jesus. Amen.
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 We will be here next week.
See you next week.
Alrighty. God love you.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and His perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
For the ways we've